thought, and the laws of mind. The function of thought comes from God and is in God. As part of his thought, you cannot think apart from him. Irrational thought is a thought disorder. God himself orders your thought, because your thought was created by him. When you not think like God, you have not really thought at all. Delusional ideas are not thought, but you can think that you believe in them. There could be no better example of the fact that the ego is an idea, though not a reality-based thought. Thoughts increase by being given away. The more who believe in them, the stronger they become. Everything is an idea. Thoughts do not have to be conscious to exist. Possession really means not under Christ's control, thus making him, the mind, vulnerable to projection. The reference to the earthbound entering bodies really refer to the taking over by their own earthbound thoughts. This is demon possession. External conditions are produced by the thoughts of many, not all of whom are pure in heart as yet. When you are afraid of anything, you are acknowledging its power to hurt you. Remember that where your heart is, there is your treasure also. This means that you believe in what you value. If you are afraid, you are valuing wrong. Human understanding will inevitably value wrong, and by endowing all human thoughts with equal power, will inevitably destroy peace. This is why the Bible speaks of the peace of God which passeth human understanding. All words, at best, are preparatory. The word is really a thought. No one word is universally meaningful, because a word is a symbol, but thought is not divisible by creation. The original name for thought and word was the same. The quotation should read, "In the beginning was the thought, and the thought was with God, and the thought was God." How beautiful indeed are the thoughts of God, who live in his light. Your worth is beyond perception because it is beyond doubt. Do not perceive yourself in different lights. Know yourself in the one light, where the miracle which is you is perfectly clear. The laws of mind govern thoughts, and you do respond to two conflicting voices. A situation is a relationship, being the joining of thoughts. If problems are perceived, it is because the thoughts are judged to be in conflict. But if the goal is truth, this is impossible. Some idea of bodies must have entered, for minds cannot attack. If you are joined, how could it be that you have private thoughts? And how could thoughts that enter into what but seems like yours alone, have no effect at all on what is yours? If minds are joined, this is impossible. No one can think but for himself, as God thinks not without his Son. Only were both in bodies could this be. Nor could one mind think only for itself, unless the body were the mind. For only bodies can be separate, and therefore unreal. The home of madness cannot be the home of reason. Yet it is easy to leave the home of madness, if you see reason. Here is the one emotion that you made, whatever it may seem to be. And it is the emotion of secrecy, of private thoughts, and of the body. This is the one emotion that opposes love, and always leads to sight of differences, and loss of sense of sameness. Here is the one emotion that keeps you blind, dependent on the self you think you made, to lead you through the world it made for you. Let us look closer at the whole illusion that what you made has power to enslave its maker. This is the same belief that caused the separation. It is the meaningless idea that thoughts can leave the thinker's mind, be different from it, and in opposition to it. If this were true, thoughts would not be the mind's extensions, but its enemies. And here we see again another form of the same fundamental illusion we have seen many times before. Only if it were possible the Son of God could leave his Father's mind, make himself different, and oppose his will, would it be possible that the self he made, and all it made, should be his master. There is a borderland of thought that stands between this world and heaven. It is not a place, and when you reach it is apart from time. Here is the meeting place where thoughts are brought together, where conflicting values meet, and all illusions are laid down beside the truth, where they are judged to be untrue. This borderland is just beyond the gate of heaven. Here is every thought made pure and wholly simple. Here is sin denied, and everything that is received instead. The world you see depicts exactly what you thought you did. Except that now you think that what you did is being done to you. The guilt for what you thought is being placed outside yourself, and on a guilty world which dreams your dreams and thinks your thoughts instead of you. It brings its vengeance, not your own. It keeps you narrowly confined within a body, which it punishes because of all the sinful things the body does within its dream. You have no power to make the body stop its evil deeds, because you did not make it, and cannot control its actions, or its purpose, or its fate. The world but demonstrates an ancient truth: you will believe that others do to you exactly what you think you did to them. But, once deluded into blaming them, you will not see the cause of what they do because you want the guilt to rest on them. Nightmares are childish dreams. The toys have turned against the child who thought he made them real. Yet can a dream attack? Or can a toy grow large and dangerous and fierce and wild? This does the child believe because he fears his thoughts, and gives them to his toys instead. And their reality becomes his own, because they seem to save him from his thoughts. Yet do they keep his thoughts alive and real, but seen outside himself, where they can turn against him for his treachery to them. He thinks he needs them that he may escape his thoughts, because he thinks the thoughts are real. And so he makes of anything a toy, to make his world remain outside himself, and play that he is but a part of it. The thoughts you think are in your mind, as you are in the mind which thought of you. Nothing that God knows not exists, and what he knows exists forever, changelessly. For thoughts endure as long as does the mind that thought of them. And in the mind of God there is no ending, nor a time in which his thoughts were absent, or could suffer change. Thoughts are not born and cannot die. They share the attributes of their creator, nor have they a separate life, apart from him. And so there are no separate parts in what exists within God's mind. It is forever one, eternally united and at peace. Thoughts seem to come and go. But all this means is that you are sometimes aware of them, and sometimes not. An unremembered thought is born again to you when it returns to your awareness. Yet it did not die when you forgot it. It was always there, but you were unaware of it. The thought God holds of you is perfectly unchanged by your forgetting. It will always be exactly as it was before the time when you forgot, and will be just the same when you remember. And it is the same within the interval when you forgot. The thoughts of God are far beyond all change, and shine forever. They await not birth. They wait for welcome and remembering. Are thoughts, then, dangerous? To bodies, yes. The thoughts that seem to kill are those which teach the thinker that he can be killed. And so he dies, because of what he learned. To justify one value that the world upholds is to deny your father's sanity and yours. For God and his beloved Son do not think differently. And it is the agreement of their thought that makes the Son a co-creator with the mind whose thought created him. And if he chooses to believe one thought opposed to truth, he has decided he is not his father's son, because the Son is mad, and sanity must lie apart from both the Father and the Son. This you believe. Thought systems are but true or false, and all their attributes come simply from what they are. Only the thoughts of God are true. And all that follows from them, comes from what they are, and is as true as is the Holy Source from which they came.